You guys got your words tonight?
Oh, yeah.
I mean your word. You got your word tonight? Got your word? Open your Bible with me to the book. We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I never used this Bible before, so. Wow. What do you guys think of our worship team tonight? What do you guys think of that? That's pretty good, huh? We're going to read at verse chapter 17, and we're going to read at verse 48. Verse 48. Hey, Laura. I see a lot of new faces here, kind of. First Samuel, what did I say? Am I taking a long time? I'm taking my time because I got a lot of things to say, and so. First Samuel 17. I hope you're not offended by things I say tonight. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to yell at you. But I heard somebody say something that if you're watching a movie and there's about 5 minutes left in the movie, you're just not going to get up and walk away, are you? Especially if it's an awesome movie and it's really intense and you're all into it and it's about to reveal something at the very end and you're just not going to go up to the restroom, are you? You're going to hold yourself, aren't you? If you pay $10, if you pay $10 to go watch a movie, you're just not going to get up and go walk away from it, are you? And so tonight, I'd love it if you just stayed sitting. I mean, if you want to stand up and shout, but don't walk away. Just stay here and just listen and receive and let God work on your heart tonight. Amen. So we're at verse 48. This is what it says in the New King James Version. It says, "So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." Say, go to war.
Go to war.
Say, go to war.
Go to war.
Verse 49, "Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him." Say, go to war.
Go to war.
"But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath," come on, "and killed him, cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines," there's a lot of them now, "saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wood of the Philistines fell along the road to Sharam." My goodness, that's a weird word. "Even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going against the Philistine, he said, 'Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As your soul lives, O king, I don't know.' So the king said, 'I inquire whose son this young man is.' Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand." Say, amen.
Amen.
Say, go to war.
Go to war.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, we want to encounter your presence. God, tonight, we want to meet you. God, tonight, we ask that you would stir in us. God, tonight, we ask that you'd stir up a passion in us. God, we ask you to stir up in us, God, a desire to go to war for you. God, a desire to be men and women who lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel. Not mere people who sit around and say they're Christians and play their video games, but men and women who want to lay down their life for you, for the King of Kings. God, I'm just asking you to rise up young men and young women in this place tonight. God, even if they don't think they're young. God, I'm praying that you'd rise up zealous, just zealous hearts for you. God, zealous hearts for you, passionate for you. God, wanting to risk it all, wanting to give it all. None of us want to give our lives to something that's worthless. But we all want to give our life for the gospel. And God, I'm praying tonight, God, that you would renew our minds and you would transform our hearts. Tonight, Lord. Tonight is our night. It's a moment tonight and your son is here. God, tonight I roll out the red carpet and I invite the King of Kings in to come and minister to every young man and to every young woman and to every adult and every old woman and every old lady and every old man tonight, God, I'm asking that you, the King of Kings, would come and have his place. Come on, tell him tonight. Say, Lord, I'm giving you my heart. I give you authority over my mind. I give you my mind right now in Jesus' name. Lord, take my mouth right now, God. Give me words to say. Stir up in me, God. Stir up in me, God. Move me, compel me, motivate me. We don't need words to worship the King of Kings. Sorry, we don't need songs, and we don't need a pianist, and somebody who plays a guitar. All we need is our tongues to declare that He is God. Come on, tell Him, God, you are amazing. God, you are worthy. Tell Him from your soul. Tell Him from your heart. God, I don't know if I understand it enough, but I know that this is true, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if it is my choice tonight, you reign in this place. You are God tonight of my heart, of my soul, of this youth ministry. Come and have your way and move us to a new place. Set the bar higher and call us to that next place. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Awesome. I don't think that too many of us are walking in too much sin. And if you are walking in sin, just go repent. I mean, that's just the way it is. If you are walking in sin, repent. 1 John chapter 1 says that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen? So if you are walking in sin, just repent. But tonight I want to talk to those who feel like they're called to be warriors. I want to talk to those who feel like they want to give their life to something that's worth it. Now, I love you, and if you are living a life that is worthless, it's as easy as repenting. It's as easy as saying, Lord, forgive me. I'm wicked. I don't deserve you, and you're good. You deserve all my praise. Give it to him. But there's another group here tonight. And this is the group that this thinks that well, I'm a Christian, and we wear the tattoos, or the tattoo that says I'm a Christian, or we wear the Christian t-shirts and the Christian shoes, and we walk around and we say we're Christians and brush our teeth with toothpaste that says Christian on it, and we talk like we're Christians, and we walk like we're Christians, and we even tell our mom and dads we're Christians, but yet we're not living a life that proves it.
What about it?
I want to live a life that proves it. 1 Samuel 17:1. It's talking about Goliath. It's talking about a crazy, I think he's like 9'6", Philistine. And he wasn't very happy. And it gives a whole list. I think it's about 7 verses in a row that talks about who he is and how big he is and the things that he carries and this and that. And how he threatens the army of Israel. But I love what it says. It goes on. It says, and the champion did this, and he had a bronze helmet, and he had a bronze armor, and his staff and his spear was like a weaver's beam. And then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said, why have you come out? And blah, blah, blah. In verse 9, it says, if he is able to fight, and they're talking back and forth with this Philistine, and he says, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And it goes on and on, and it says in verse 12, now David was a son. Come on. They're talking about going on and talking about how this Philistine is all this, and he's all that, and he's this, and he's this. And then it says, now David was the son of Jesse. Verse 15, but David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. I want to talk to you from a few different subjects tonight. And the first one I want to talk to you about is the road of a warrior. The road of a warrior. And I've heard this, I've heard it mentioned before, and I heard it mentioned and it struck something in my spirit, it struck something in my soul and in my mind, and God's been teaching me about this principle that I've been living, and it is the only way. And that we have a giant to defeat. And we have a generation to see saved for Jesus. And we have a city to see come to the Lord. But there's a road to getting there. And it's not at a low price. It doesn't come easy. The road of a warrior costs much. And the prize is great. But the prize is nothing if he doesn't give up anything. And so we see David. We see this man who's anointed as king of Israel. But yet he goes back to his father. And he goes and he tends his father's sheep with love. And a stinking bear comes around. He kills a bear. And he takes down the lion like a man. And then his brothers go off to war. He couldn't go to war because he was too young. But that doesn't stop a warrior. That doesn't stop somebody who knows who they are. That doesn't stop an anointed generation. I don't care if we're too young. That shouldn't stop us. They might say we don't have it. We don't look like we got it. We don't sound like we got it. We don't walk like we got it. But that doesn't matter. They might say we're too young. But if we're anointed, there's nothing that's too big, too great for our God who can use us to defeat the enemy of Satan. Amen? And so this guy, David, is walking. And he's taking his time. And his dad says in verse 15, it says, he's feeding his father's sheep. And the Philistines drew near and presented himself 40 days. Then Jesse, verse 17, said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. So David rose early, verse 20, in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. He's carrying the cheese. He's carrying the bread. Oh, well, brother, I'm anointed. Empty the dishwasher, Mom? I don't think so. Take out the trash? Mom, didn't you hear what that preacher said about me? I got that prophecy, and I'm called to great things. I'm not taking out that trash. Love my little brother? Why? He's little. I got bigger things to do. Take out my trash? What, do my bed? Oh, I'm effective and I'm excellent in my reading my word and I'm excellent in my prayer and I'm excellent in my praying in my tongue. Oh, but I don't clean my bed. I don't take care of my bed. My mom tells me to take care of that. She don't understand who I am. My teacher tells me to write my name in the right-hand corner. Who does he think he is? I was raised in the left-hand corner. I'm going to write my name where I want to write my name. And we live this life of I'm anointed. Carry the cheese? Come on. I fought bears and lions. My goodness. Get your stuff together. And that's the way we live. That's what we think. But yet we see a man who's anointed king of Israel, arguably the greatest king ever. And we see the life that he lives. And a road of a warrior carries some stinking cheese. A road of a warrior knows how to serve. The road of a warrior is laying down his life for the sake of the few. Is laying down his life for the people that never are ever mentioned, that are never looked at, that are overseen. He goes to those people and loves those people. He cares about those people. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. He cares about the people that are never seen and are never looked at. That's the road of a warrior. That's the road of a man or a woman of God. But you know, I'm anointed. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, come on, you know the scripture. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The road to the greatest achievement ever was carrying a cross. My goodness. It's okay. It's all right. Listen. A demon-possessed dog, get that thing out of here. My goodness. The road to the greatest achievement ever. The devil is a liar. The road to the greatest achievement ever was carrying a cross. That was funny. You can laugh, bro. Go ahead. Because I'm thirsty. You guys hear me? What's the road? Come on. The road to the greatest achievement ever was carrying a cross. Jesus is sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he could have said, I ain't carrying the cheese. Nobody says, Heavenly Father, not my will. Come on, your will be done. Not what I want. Yeah, this doesn't feel good. It doesn't even look good. But not my will. Your will be done. We have to understand something before we ever go any further than thinking that we're a warrior. Tonight I want us to walk away saying to ourselves that I'm mighty in Jesus' name. That I'm a mighty man, a mighty woman of valor. Because that's how God sees you. But that before we ever go there, you must understand God doesn't need you. We must understand that our life is servanthood to the King. That it's about Him. The road of a warrior is carrying the cross. Amen? The first point I want to talk about is the road of a warrior. And we think about Jesus and the road to Calvary and Him walking and He's carrying that cross. And the whole time He's thinking of 2008, April 3rd, of all of us sitting here worshiping and praising His name only by the grace of God. Come on. Only by the grace of God. And He's thinking of us. He's thinking of us because He realizes that great things are bought at great prices. That saving saving the world, that saving a lost generation, that saving a lost people would cost much. And so does your giants in your life. It costs much. And so does a city of Anchorage, Alaska. It costs much. And we thought, well, I want to see Jesus in the city of Anchorage, and I want to see them come to the Lord. But yet we don't carry our cross. So the first point is carry your cross on your road. If you want to be a warrior, carry your cross. Verse 16, and the Philistine drew near. We already read that. Verse 19, now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left his sheep. We read that. Verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the... Verse 23, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. My next point is the eye of the warrior. The eye of a warrior. We have to have our eyes set and focused on the right thing. I want you to get a picture with me of what was going on. David comes down to deliver some food, some stinking cheese. Right? And he comes down and he's talking to these guys, just chilling. Be careful who you talk to. And he's talking to these guys. He's just hanging out. And the Bible says that they saw the Philistine and they were afraid. We have to be very precise and excellent about what we look at, about what we focus on. See, because the odds and what everybody was saying was this Philistine was the man and he was going to take you down. See, the culture and the climate and what the city said to the temperature and what Anchorage and what the government says is that Anchorage can't be turned around for Jesus. That's what the culture says. The culture says that people can't sit in their house of 100 people worshiping Jesus. Culture says that. Culture says that people can't get healed. The culture says that Christians can't fill the city, raising the dead, healing the sick, preaching the gospel. That's what the culture says. But are you gonna be a thermometer or a thermostat? Are you gonna set a temperature in the climate, in the culture of Anchorage, Alaska? Are you gonna sit there and put your little thermometer in the chicken and go, well, it's too much for me? Or are you going to stand up and say, no, I carry the glory of God. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. And I'm going to raise the temperature. I'm going to raise the climate. I'm going to raise the culture. I set the culture in Jesus' name. The government doesn't set the culture. Jesus sets the culture in this place. We got to be men and women that stop focusing on the culture and get all scared about the culture. Well, UAA says I can't do that. I don't care what UAA says. Jesus says preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, and that's what I'm going to do. Come on, somebody. Get excited in here. We got to stop focusing at the culture and the climate and the temperature, because when you focus at that, you're going to get afraid. And we'll never be warriors when we're afraid. We'll never take a city for Jesus if you're afraid. My goodness. We got to magnify God. Because look, when you focus on something, what you're doing is you're exalting it. Come on. When you focus on something, you're exalting it. And if you focus on the culture too much, you're putting it above God. I don't know if you heard me. But when you focus and when you magnify and when your mind and your ears and your heart is set on the culture or the climate of your school, of your family, of this city, I'm telling you what you're doing is you're committing adultery or idolatry. My goodness, not adultery, but idolatry. Because what you're doing is you're saying that this is greater than my God. No. Last time I heard is Jesus tells us to pray in Matthew 6 that Your kingdom come. Come on. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a culture, there's a kingdom on earth, but I'm not serving the kingdom of this culture. I'm serving the King of Kings. Right? My goodness. I'm excited. I hope you're excited tonight. Magnifying is simply focusing on something and being in awe of it. Stop focusing on the negative. There is something that really fires me up. And that's this. We as Christians are more known of what we're against than what we're for. When's the day going to come when people stop saying, well, they're against abortion. Well, and they're against this. And I'm against that. And I'll say that. I'm against smoking and drinking and partying and all that junk. I'm against the smoking and Mary Jane and all that stuff. I'm against it. I'm convicted. And biblically, I can prove it. But I'm not going to stand around and tell everybody, well, I'm against this, brother. I don't want to be known as a people that was known for being against things. Holiness is not holiness by subtraction. Holiness is holiness by maximizing your God-given potential. When was the last time you saw Jesus walking around telling everybody what he was against? Oh, he did preach the kingdom of heaven, and he did say, repent of your sins. Don't get me wrong. But he also said, be holy as I am holy. And that word be is to be, that's who you are. And being holy is being loving and caring and having the spirit of joy. Come on, Galatians 5:22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And that's what I'll be for. If they come across to me, I don't want people to say, well, Gabriel's against that, he's against that. And there are things that people notice that about me, and God's working that out in my life. But I want to be a people, a generation, a church that is known for what we're for, not for what we're against. Let's stop magnifying what we're against. And let's stop maximizing what we're for. We're for love. Come on. We're for love. We're for humility. We're for laying down our life for Jesus. We're for having peace and having joy and having passion for God. That's what we're for. And we're for the broken down in spirit. We're going to love them. Oh yeah, that church over there, well, they're against dancing and drinking and smoking and tattoos and let's not be that. I'm for Jesus. I'm for love. Stop focusing and magnifying what we're against. Holiness is holiness, which is multiplication. Stop living by subtraction and start maximizing your God-given potential. You can do nothing wrong and still do nothing right. Well, I didn't go to that party. Those people are just horrible. You know why we gossip? We gossip because we're focusing on the negative. Well, I didn't go to that. I didn't go drinking. I didn't go do that. I didn't do that either. But are you reading your word? Are you carrying the cheese? Are you praying? Are you seeking God? Are you serving your mom and dad, whether they're saved or not? Are you giving your life to become a man, a husband, and a father for Jesus? Rather than just sitting around and thinking that life's just going to happen, and I'm going to become a godly dad, and I'm going to become a godly father, or a godly husband, you think it's just going to happen? I'm going to become a woman of God someday, it's just going to happen. Really? Show me that. Last time I checked, we have to invest in the kingdom, and to seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. Matthew 6:21-44, 21 through the end of the chapter, I think it's 39 or 40. 35, seek first, right? Verse 33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. This, my brothers and sisters, is very key because our hearts and our minds have to be focused on the King of Kings. It has to be focused on His kingdom and His righteousness. Is this making sense? Because if we focus on this, everything else will be taken care of. You're not going to worry about anything. You know the word worry? Do you know what that word worry means? It means an undivided heart. That when you worry, and then when you see the devil and you see the culture and you worry, you know what you're doing? You're dividing your heart. And you're saying, well, I'll worship God over here in my little club. But over at UAA, I just can't do it. Because, you know, they say this and they say, oh, I don't care what they say. My goodness, my God's kingdom is on earth as it is in heaven. My family's not saved though. I don't care. Serve them and love them in Jesus' name. Psalm 118:28, you are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you 1 John 4:4. Come on, you guys know this one. You are not from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. We got to get that. Before we go anywhere else, our eye has to understand. Our heart, our focus, our mindset has to be, ooh, greater is He that is in me than that stinking devil. You know what? We got to be careful what we say about the devil. But I will say this. Stop glorifying the devil. And start giving praise to God. Stop glorifying our culture and our government. Stop it. And start giving glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's focus on the great things of God. Verse 20. Let's see, where are we at? Verse 25. So then the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And that shall be that man who kills him, the king." Verse 26. And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills a Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, I'm gonna cut it short. He basically said, "You're a punk. Get away. You're a baby. You're a liar. You're insolent. Whatever." Verse 29. David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" Verse 30. Then he turned from him toward another man, say, "Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful." Say this. "Be careful who you hang out with." They reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail." See, what happened was, his brother condemned him and persecuted him and tried robbing his passion. Come on. Tried robbing his passion. He turned his head and went to another man. And that person tried robbing. And a group of people tried robbing his passion. And then he went to Saul. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Because of him, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Come on. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion, come on, or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and I struck it. I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck it and killed it." My goodness, I love this guy. "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing as defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" Warriors guard what they carry. So far, we got the road of a warrior is carrying the cheese and being a servant. The eye of a warrior is maximizing and glorifying God. And third, we got the warriors guard what they carry. Warriors protect what they carry through the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1 verse 14, "Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." Be careful who you share your passion with. Be careful who you rub up against. Be careful. There's a passion in your heart. You can't deny it. There's something in you that wants to do something great for God. It's rising up right now as I'm yelling, as I'm preaching at you. You're excited about something. You want to give your life to something that costs something. Something that's worth it. Be careful who you rub up against. But no matter what, I'm not saying don't rub up against that person because he's going to steal my passion. This is my point. You can rub up against whoever you want. Don't let them take your passion. Guard what was entrusted to you. The treasure that lives in you. Who's in me? The hope of glory. Greater is He that is in me. Right? When I share my passion with somebody, and I know there's people in here, I know testimonies of people who have shared their passion and have been hurt by it. Let me tell you something. Let's be strong. When they try and rob your passion, you tell them, "No. That bear came, I killed that bear. That lion came, I killed that lion. You can't defy my God." I want to teach you the art of protecting your passion. There's an art to it. There's an art to killing the devil. Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." To the death. The blood of the Lamb. You want to know how you overcome people who are trying to take your passion? There's a devil and there's an enemy and there's a flesh that lives in you right now. Your flesh. Sorry, the devil doesn't live in you. Your flesh is living right now. That's dumb. It's going to try and tell you things. And I want to tell you how you overcome that. You want to know? It first starts with the blood of the Lamb. Say, the blood of the Lamb. We have to start with what Jesus did. They can tell you lies, and they can say whatever they want to say about you. But it's not about you. It's about the hope of glory in you. And nothing can keep us from God. And nothing can stop God. They will defile His name. They will tear Him down. They will blaspheme His name. But it don't matter. You have to start your confidence. Your boldness has to come from the idea and the fact and the truth that Jesus died on a cross. He was hung on a cross. He became a curse so that I might be a blessing. And He didn't only die. See, a lot of people died. A lot of people died. He didn't only die, but He rose on the third day and He sits at the right hand of the Father and He is now called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who was, who is, and who is to come. That's Jesus. And He lives in you. My goodness. That's Jesus who lives in you. If they start taking your passion, you tell them what Jesus did and what He's doing. Amen? That's the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. Do you see what David did? He started talking about how he killed that bear and how he killed that lion. I want you, when somebody starts taking your passion, you don't have to yell at them, but I want you to start talking about your testimony. You start telling them what Jesus did through you. You start telling them about, oh, no. See, you don't understand. See, this Philistine is just like another one of those bears. I killed that person. I killed that devil. I killed that bear. I've already done it in Jesus' name. I've been through some hard times in my life, but I've overcome. Yeah, my parents, they did treat me horrible. And maybe I was abused. And maybe my mom did leave me. Maybe my dad did leave me. And maybe my mom and dad grew up alcoholics. Or maybe my parents did say they're Christians, but they never lived like it. Or maybe my mom said something to me a long time ago that hurt me. And I overcame it. You see where I'm going? Overcome the devil and those who try and take your passion from the word of your testimony. The third point, the third way is death. And they did not love their lives to the death. If you lose your life, it's not about you. It's for Him. When they try and take your passion, you have to understand that it's not about me again. This whole message comes down to humility. It comes down to it's not about me. It's about Him. And when they try and take your passion, you got to realize that when I lose myself, I find myself. When I lose myself, when I lose my selfish identity about me and about people praising me, when you lose that mindset, it frees you to have courage and passion for Jesus. Well, brother, you're too small. Well, I might be too small. But God is big. A whole UAA for Jesus, brother? Let me sit down and tell you statistics. Pull out their calculators and start giving you all this stuff. Listen to that junk. It's not about you. If they try and tear you down, it don't matter. That's the mindset we have to have. Amen? So far we got the road of a warrior, the eye of a warrior, the warrior's guard, what they carry through the Holy Spirit. Verse 38. We're almost there. Landing this plane in about 25, 30, 40 minutes. Just kidding. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk. Somebody say, tried to walk. For he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had in his sling, which was in his hand. All right. We must understand that we are carriers, not containers. You hear what I'm saying? We are carriers, not containers. We carry the presence, the glory, the truth, the treasure of God. We are not containers. We don't sit there and hold it. You think people are going to come from all the way, oh, wow. Well, brother, my light's shining. Really? I don't got to say any more than that. And carriers have to wear the right armor. Carriers have to wear the right armor. They got to get the right gear on. 1 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It also says that we carry the spirit of reconciliation in verse 18. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank sent, somebody say sent, carried by one country as its long-term representative to another. We are a diplomatic official. The Bible says that we are priests of the Most High. Of the highest rank, God, sent by one country, the kingdom of heaven, as its long-term representative to another, the United States of America, to the earth that we live on today. We are, the Bible says that we are citizens on earth. We are citizens in heaven. We are aliens to earth. We have to understand that we are ambassadors. And an ambassador is somebody who takes something to another place. An ambassador is somebody who carries something. You are carrying, listen, you are carrying the spirit of reconciliation. You are carrying the spirit of reconciliation, it says in verse 18. I didn't get to put it on my deal, but you can put that down. The spirit of reconciliation is what you're carrying. You have to see yourself that you are carrying something, and what you're wearing is valuable. I'm not going to go work for UPS and put a FedEx gear on and go carry something, am I? I don't work for FedEx anymore, my goodness. There's nothing wrong with working at FedEx. But we got to get this right. But we have to realize that we're a carrier, and what we wear is huge. What we wear is very crucial. It didn't work for him. He had not tested them. He fastened his sword and his armor and tried to walk. He had not tested them. He hadn't tested them yet. The stuff that he was put on didn't work. I want to tell you, stop trying to be somebody else. Stop trying to carry somebody else's armor. Be who you are. The next verse, in verse 40, it says that he went and chose for himself 5 stones. He chose for himself 5 stones. You have to understand what your gift is. Well, brother, put this on. You're a preacher. I'm not a preacher. My goodness, I'm a mechanic. Okay, be a mechanic then. Be who you are in Jesus' name. You don't have to manipulate who you are. You be who you are. God told me this one day. He said, Gabriel, stop trying to be somebody else. You be who you are. That's where my anointing is. Man, if David would have carried somebody else's, he would have got killed by that Philistine. But he was who he was, and he chose for himself his 5 stones. You got to find out what your passions are. You got to find out what your desires are. You got to find out what stirs you up. Because what stirs you up is what motivates you. What motivates you is who you are. Come on. Warriors are carriers. They're not containers. You got to see yourself as carrying the gospel. Verse 41. So the Philistine came and he began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. Everybody's like, I receive that in Jesus' name. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you came to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came to draw near to meet David. Say, go to war. Say, go to war. David, can I get you to... David, my goodness. Jordan, can I get you to come up here, please? And start playing this is some keyboards for a little bit. Thanks, bro. My last point is warriors go to war with confidence. Warriors go to war with confidence. The first one is the road of a warrior. Say, the road of a warrior is carrying cheese. Say, the road of a warrior is carrying cheese. Say, the eye of a warrior. Magnify God. Warriors guard what they carry. Say, warriors guard what they carry. You got to guard what you're carrying. Warriors are carriers, they're not containers. And this carries on to my next point, that we are carriers and that we must go. Flip over with me to the book of Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. Come on. Matthew chapter 14. You guys are like, we're already there, you dork. Get there. I'm getting there. God, I want to see you move tonight. God, I'm praying you'd move tonight, right now, in our hearts. You there? Say, if you're there, say, I'm there. Verse 25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Other translations say, take courage! It is I! Jesus yells to them in their fear. There's some of us sitting here tonight that are afraid to step out and go to war. A lot of us have a desire to go, but yet we're afraid. God's calling out to you tonight. Take courage. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Warriors go with confidence. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I want to end with this. There's a passion in your heart. Well, Gabriel, I don't think I have a passion, man. I'm passionate about Xbox, my girlfriend. Repent of that passion. God will give you a new passion. He gives you the desires of your heart. He takes your heart and He writes desires on them. You need to find those desires. There's a passion in your heart. There's a desire in your heart to go to war. There's a desire in your heart to trade your life for something that's worth it. There's a desire in your heart to be who you're called to be. Some of you in here are sitting here and you're wondering, when is my time? And I say to you, carry the cheese. That's your time. I'm carrying the cheese. I'm being honest. Well, you're preaching, Gabriel. I am. But I'm also serving. And I am laying down my life. Well, he gets all the showtime. Check your heart. Get your heart right. Get your mind right. I don't receive any glory from talking. Let's be men and women who want to go to war. Who want to go trade our life for something that's worth it. Does anybody want to trade their life for something that's worth it? So we have this man, Peter. And see, we must understand that Peter, his name was Simon. Simon's name simply meant that he was tossed to and fro. He wasn't stable. When the wind blew, he went with the wind. When the culture blew, he went with the culture. When the climate went this way, he went that way. When things got hard, he fell back in fear. But when everybody started doing good, he's like, yeah, yeah, I'll do that too, yeah. Well, when the devil came, he ran away. His name fit him. But our God comes to us. You're no longer Simon, but I call you Cephas. You are the rock, and I will build my church on you. Simon didn't know that. But what God was doing was calling him into a new place. Come forth. I was singing to God one day, that song, you know, Third Day, Show Me Your Glory. You guys know that song? Show me your glory. I was singing that song, and God said, turn off the radio. Goodness. And it was hard. That wasn't messing around. I turned it off. He goes, you show me your glory. You show me your glory. You want to see this city saved? Rise up! You want to see the sick healed? Rise up! I put my glory in you. I put my spirit in you. I live in you. Eyes up. So here's Simon. And he still thinks he's Simon. But he sees his master. He sees his mentor walking on water. And the way that he understood back then, that when your master was doing something, it was natural for you to think, I can do what he's doing. Because I'm supposed to take his yoke upon me. And I'm supposed to do what he's doing. So Jesus, he says, Jesus, if that's you, then call me out there. Because in his eye, in his mind, in that day and age, then when you followed somebody, you were able to do what they did. And what Jesus was doing is saying, yes, it's me. Take a step. I didn't get here by chance. I wasn't saved by chance, guys. Gabriel was raised in a Christian family. I wasn't raised in no Christian family. But God chose me. And I've invested in the kingdom. And there are men and women here tonight who have invested in the kingdom. And it's showing its proof. They're proving that the gospel is real. And I want to call you forward tonight. I want to tell you to rise up. Take a step forward. But I don't know if I can do it. But Jesus is calling you forward. He's saying, go to war. I release you. Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? I got a question for you. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for? I don't want to wait anymore. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm guaranteed right now. And right now, I want to magnify God. See, Simon realized that it was windy out in that water. And he could have said, yeah, I'm Simon. That's right, I'm Simon. I'm staying in this stinking boat. And he could have looked at each other. In Genesis 42, Joseph says to his sons, the harvest is ready. What are you doing? Stop looking at each other. Go get the harvest. The harvest is ready. What are you waiting for? Harvest is ready. How beautiful are the feet of those who carry the gospel. How beautiful are those who preach the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of those who take the good news to the ends of the earth. Peter is Simon, and he's realizing, I can step out of this boat, and I can be tossed to and fro by the waves, and I can step out, but I don't know if I can step out. And he's realizing there's a thing going back and forth, but with a little squeak in his voice because he's feeling something rising up inside of him. And he could just stand back and he could just watch and he could just look at his brothers and his sisters in that boat. And he could have been cool with them. Oh, I'm sitting back. Jesus is watching. Stop beholding the glory of God. Stop beholding the glory of God and be the glory of God in Anchorage, Alaska. We've been watching him too long. We've been watching Read More, Preach Too Much. We've been watching James Phillips give these amazing words. We've been watching Jordan Ross and these amazing people. Rise up. It's your turn to rise up. This isn't for me. This is your mantle to carry. This is our mantle as a generation. Generation X. We're generation next. We're called to carry it. We're called to be passionate. We're called to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here's Peter, and he feels something rising, and his voice is kind of squeaking, and he doesn't know if he can step out, but he realizes, wait a minute, Jesus called me Peter. He called me the rock. I'm going to step out in faith. And he walked on the water, and he conquered the grave. That's what you have. There's not one of us here tonight that doesn't have that in store. I don't care how old, I don't care how young. Take a step. You know it right now. God's challenging you right now. God, I'm praying for conviction right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, move in this place. Convict our hearts. You're convicted right now of what you need to start doing. And you can sit back in the boat with all the other guys and watch the glory of God walking on the water. You can watch David fight that stinking Goliath. You can watch people take that mantle and run with it. You can keep watching. Oh, and I love you. And I'll keep loving you, but I ain't hanging out with you. Because if you want to move on, you can't hang out with the people that are sitting back. If you're moving on, I want you to move on. God wants you to move on. I got to stop. You guys excited tonight? Peter,
walks out on the water. My passion, guys, it's not because I was born with passion, guys. It's not because Gabriel was born with passion. My passion came from God calling me. It came from Him saying, Gabriel, you're no longer Gabe. You're Gabriel. You're my messenger. You're my prophet. You're my preacher. Come forth. But Lord, come forth. Stop making excuses about yourself. Stop letting what's wrong with you stop you from what's worshiping what's right with God. Stop letting what's wrong with you hinder you from worshiping what's right with God. Well, I'm just too short. I can't preach like that. Write songs? I can't write songs. Stop it. Stop it. The hope of glory is in you. The King of Kings lives in you. Jesus, the risen Messiah, come on, lives in you. Man, I have passion for every single one of you in here right now. This ministry isn't for me. It isn't for us. We're here to build you and to see you go to the ends of the earth. That's my passion. If I never preach again and I see all my guys who I minister and I mentor and I disciple, if I see them preaching, I don't have to preach. Praise God. Less yelling for me to do. I want to see you rise up. Amen. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes. I want to see yourself in a boat. See yourself in a boat. See yourself playing that Xbox. See yourself reading that stupid book. See yourself hanging out with that girl that's holding you back. See yourself hanging out with that guy that's holding you back. See yourself, but I want you to see yourself not only with them, but I want you to see yourself with the eyes of fire looking straight through your soul. Like Pastor Reed's been preaching. Right through your soul. He's telling you right now, Holy Spirit, move right now. Move right now. Move right now. Move right now. Convict the hearts. Convict the hearts. Convict the hearts in Jesus' name. Move in power. Move in authority, Lord. See yourself in that boat. See yourself sitting back. Some of you have already risen. Some of you have already risen. I want you to start praying for those who haven't risen. And I want you to be careful, because if you think you've risen and you really haven't risen, you better get right. Just you and God now. It's just you and Him now. It's just you and Him in that boat right now. Listen to Him. He's convicting you. Don't take a step until you know what you got to go do. Don't take a step until you know what it's going to cost. Peter was hung upside down on a cross. Don't take a step until you know what it's going to cost. It's going to cost much. But great men and great women sacrifice their lives for a great price and a great prize. Well, Jesus suffered. I don't have to suffer anymore. Read your Bible. That's wrong. You and Jesus here right now. Right now. Listen. Listen. Eyes closed. Everybody's eyes closed. Worship team, everybody, listen. What's He calling you to do? Everybody's eyes closed. I was seeking God this last Sunday. I said, Lord, I don't have a word for your church, but I'm supposed to be preaching. What do you want me to say? He says, tell Him I release Him. 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 Jesus releases you in Jesus' name. Jesus, the hope of glory. Jesus, the risen Messiah. Jesus, the King of Kings. He releases you into your ministry. He releases you into your family. He releases you into Anchorage, Alaska. He releases you into your school. He releases you to the ends of the earth. He releases you to worship your God in spirit and in truth. He releases you to minister to your little brother. He releases you to carry that cheese. He releases you to serve those who are not favored. He releases you to love the unlovely. He releases you to have the spirit of love, of faith, of joy, of peace. He releases you to live your life right now. Come on, you feel it. You get on the edge of your seat. You feel it rising up. You feel that passion rising up. You know you're supposed to take a step. You know you're supposed to take a step. I'm going to count to three. And don't come up here unless you've counted the cost. Don't come up here unless you count the cost. I'm going to count to three. And every young man, every young woman, every person who feels convicted by this,
by the Lord calling them. You've heard it in your spirit. You've heard it in your soul. You see Him calling you. You feel Him calling you. I'm going to count on three. I want you to count the cost, and I want you to look at where He's calling you to go. I want you to get a clear picture of it. And maybe you don't know exactly what you're supposed to do. It doesn't matter. Surrender to the King because He's worthy and He saved you. One. Don't come yet. Count the cost. Count the cost. You might feel you kind of rising up out of your seat. You might feel that passion kind of stirring you. You might feel that song kind of coming out of you. You might feel that word, that word you're supposed to preach in Generation Ministries in a few weeks or in a few months or in a few years. You might feel it rising up in you. You might feel that you're called to be a prophet. You might feel you're called to just serve the people who are lowly. You might feel that call. Two, you feel it right now. You feel like standing up. You feel like running on that water. Count the cost. It costs much. I prophesy to you in Jesus' name. I release you. I release you. Three, young man, young woman, I release you. Come to the front. If you want to respond, if you want to take a step and come forward. Three, I release you to your ministry. Three, come forth, young man. Three, come forth, young woman. Right now, you're seeing what you're called to do. Every eye's closed. You're seeing what you're called to do. You see it right there. You see you're supposed to keep walking on this water. Don't look at the water, because Peter looked at the water and he failed and he fell down there. Let me tell you something. Don't ever think that if you fail from this point on, you're done forever. No, Jesus is still the Savior and He still forgives you of your sin and He can still rescue you. Don't look at that water. Look at the hope of glory. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. He's calling you right now. Right now. It's just you and me. It's just you and me. You and me. The hope of glory. The hope of glory inside of me. It's just you and me. I release you. I release you. I release you. I release you. I release you to be a man. Real men cry. Real men cry. Real men weep for Jesus. I release you. I release you. I release you. Come forth and show me your glory. I release you. Take a step. Take a step. You're walking on the water. You see yourself preaching. You see yourself serving. You see yourself prophesying. Keep taking a step of faith. Jesus is the hope of glory and He's in you. Just you and me now. Sing Him a new song. You got a song in your heart. Sing Him a new song. You feel it rising up. Sing Him a song. If you got to prophesy, prophesy to the city of Anchorage. It's just you and me. It's just you and me. The hope of glory. The hope of glory in me. The hope of glory in me. The hope of glory in me. I release you. I release you. I release you to your family. I release you. I release you. I release you to your city. Go now. Go now. Go now. Go now. Don't hold anything back. Go now. Go now. Go now. Take a step forward now. Go now. Go now. Go now. God, I'm praying right now for your people. Release your power. Now in Jesus' name. Release your authority. Release your grace. Release your power. Release it in Jesus' name. He releases you. I release you now. I release you now. I release you now. Oh. Come forth, come forth, and show me your glory. Come forth, come forth, come forth right now.